Attention Austin musicians and music industry professionals. Are you having a difficult time navigating these waters, especially after the coronavirus and all the clubs have been closed? You don't know what to do? Well, let me tell you about a great resource for you. That's the Austin Music Foundation. Austin Music Foundation provides ongoing artist development services through its educational panels, one-on-one consultations, and online resources. Now listen, gang, all of that stuff is available to you, the artist or music industry professional, for free. And since coronavirus hit back in March and everything is closed down, Austin Music Foundation had the forethought to move all of their programs online. That's right, you can watch panels online, you can do your consultations online. Austin Music Foundation is there for you, and it's all free to you, the artist. Just go to austinmusicfoundation.org. That's austinmusicfoundation.org. Get involved.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
All right. Hello. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a very happy Thanksgiving. I know it was a weird Thanksgiving, a scaled back Thanksgiving. I had a zero contact Thanksgiving. That's what I was going for because I'm dog sitting for a friend, just hanging out with this dog all day. In fact, I committed to pajamas all day. It was a pajama Thanksgiving for me. That's what I've been doing all day. I'm actually doing this on Thanksgiving. And I bought some food at HEB that you can make in the oven, like already pre-made food, but then you throw it in the oven and then it's ready to go. It's kind of fresh, but pre-prepared, so to speak. That's how lazy I am this Thanksgiving. But I got a text from a friend of mine that lives down the street. She is a professional chef. She was like, "Hey man, you still staying at Sandy's?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Hey man, I made too much Thanksgiving food. You want a plate?" Hell yeah, I want a plate. What a nice surprise. So thankful for my friend Katrina and Charles for bringing me the Thanksgiving food. That was super sweet. I'm thankful for all my friends and family that I have. And I'm thankful for you guys for listening to this show. Been doing this for 9 years. We're almost up to 1,000 episodes. It's crazy. It's crazy. I know. Guys, I have a great show for you today. Singer-songwriter Michael Bernard Fitzgerald from Calgary, Alberta in Canada is my guest today. He has a brand new album out called Love Valley. It's a record that he wrote about a dream that he had about his future. It's a gorgeous record. Reminds me a lot of like kind of like Nick Drake inspired music. He's very, very, very awesome. The record was recorded in Canada, Memphis, and Nashville. And we had a talk over Zoom. He was in Canada and he had just finished a 2-month tour of, I know it sounds weird, in 2020 someone did a tour, but he did a tour of all of these Canadian farms and he's thinking about bringing it to America. I'm serious. Anyway, this record, Love Valley, is fantastic. And Michael Bernard Fitzgerald is a fascinating guy, man. Fascinating guy. He was in his car, so I felt bad for him after a little while, so I didn't make him stay on for a long, long time. It's a shorter interview, but it's a great conversation. And he actually did like 55 sold-out shows at this backyard tent residency that he did. You might know him as he's toured with Bryan Adams, Ben Harper, Third Eye Blind, Kings of Leon. This record, Love Valley, is fantastic. I suggest you seriously get out and check it out. You can find Michael Bernard Fitzgerald at michaelbernardfitzgerald.com. He is talking about bringing this farm tour to America. So go to michaelbernardfitzgerald.com and get involved with it. Check out his record, Love Valley. And once again, I hope you had a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. I hope you at least got to talk with loved ones and communicate and get in touch. And without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Canadian songwriter Michael Bernard Fitzgerald. Let's get down.
I remember finishing dinner, baby. We picked up the dishes, put them in the sink. Walked off the back porch to the riverbank. The sun hit away.
How are you doing, man?
James?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Are you? You're in Calgary.
Yeah, I just got back. Like I got back maybe yesterday.
From where?
I've been on like the 60-day tour.
Oh, so that's you. You've already done that. You did that when the record came out.
Yeah. And so the last show was Halloween in Vancouver, and then packed everything up and then headed back.
How was that? Like, what's it like actually doing a tour in a pandemic?
You know what? It's obviously vastly different in terms of how the preparation goes and how the setup goes and things like that. But it was awesome. Like, it was, we would sell groups of tickets. And so I'd play in this tent that we'd build every night. And all the groups were distanced within the tent, and we just do these like kind of small capacity evenings.
Wow, man, that's awesome!
Yeah,
I bet it
really
felt good, man.
It did. I mean, and before that, we did the tour. The tent would fit about 20 people. Before we did that, I had a smaller tent, and I put it up in my backyard here, and I played 58 shows to like 6 people.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been good though. Cause I mean, like every night, like there's no set list. So like every night it just kind of goes where it goes. And there's lots of chatting. Like every night you get to hear like a unique perspective on how this year is going for people and how they're coping with it, or like what's been good and what's been not so good and things like that.
Wow. So man, that is amazing. You're the only person out of all the people that I've talked to since this has gone down that has just gone out and done it.
Yeah, it's been jammed. Like a typical touring day has driving and things like that, you know, like and set up. Now we got to take down a tent in the morning and put up a tent in the evening, and
it's actually like a circus, man.
Yeah, it's got one of the one small slice of it for sure. But yeah, so I've played like I think close to 90 times since June the 3rd. So it's been like a busy year. But I think like I thought that there'd be a way that we could do it. And I've been playing 5 nights a week because my thinking is that there's a lot going on this year. And like that's a cool thing to, or a good thing to insert into the mix.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting also to be talking to somebody on a very auspicious day, but you're just in a different country having a different day. You just got home from tour. You're probably chilling out.
Well, I mean, country to country, we're so close. You know what I mean? So we definitely feel it here.
Yeah,
but I you're right. Like I don't feel it in quite the same way. Like we're very tied to the outcome. You know, it would be so interesting to know what will happen to our border shares. But yeah, like it's I can't speak for all Canadians, but I'm just I listened to the news this morning and I just kind of waiting to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, so are we. I'm just scared of like people with pitchforks and like torches go running down the streets afterwards.
That's been spooky. Like even just seeing those like different, you know, like these different like kind of like mobs, like either walking this route or getting in a fight over this. Yeah. It's like, wow, that's pretty. It's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
Like when it goes to violence, like that's no joke.
No, it's not at all. Which brings me to this record that you made, Love Valley. There's a lot of hope and optimism in this record. It's gorgeous, man.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I've always been like a hopeful writer, whether the song is happy or sad. Like I do believe in hope in a big way. And then this record, it was just like, I just took the opportunity all over, you know, over the entire year last year to just paint exactly the picture I wanted to see, you know?
Yeah. Can you sum that up for someone that's listening? Because, I mean, people listen to this all over the place, but my listeners are based in Austin and in Texas, might not know you. Can you elevator pitch that,
sure.
that vision?
So, yeah, like Love Valley is this 13-song album And what I did is I relearned how to just create songs and write songs on my own at home. And I allowed myself to just detail this dream of this like destination, this like outcome for myself. And so I just spent all 13 songs writing exactly what I wanted that place to feel and look like. And I think people can relate to that. I think everyone has a dream destination or outcome or that piece of property or that feeling or that person. You know, I think everyone's got that.
Have you been, when you went to make this record, you said that you sat down and outlined this and you wrote it by yourself. You were co-writing before. What did you have, like some kind of publishing deal or something? And you were you writing for other people, or were you the artist everyone was writing for?
Well, I still work with the publisher, and I started this whole thing out here in Calgary, and just, I didn't know anything about co-writing. I just make up songs and record them. And then I got a taste of what co-writing was like. I went to LA and tried it, and my publisher set me up with some co-writes, and some days we were writing for me, some days we were writing for other people. And then I went to Nashville a bunch and got really into that. And I spent 8 years just going to LA a lot and working with a great group of people and creating songs there. But I just thought it'd be nice to do that in a bit more, with a bit more quiet. Like, I just thought, okay, well, why not just sit in the kitchen and just see kind of what I want to say completely without any filters. You know what I mean? I don't have to run it by any collaborator, or, you know, it's just like, just sit down and just kind of start and just see where it goes. And so that's where the creation began.
Right. Yeah. That's what I found so interesting, was that when I first got your info from your publicist, I read the stuff and I was like, oh, it's, you know, kind of, maybe it's going to be like some, you know, computer LA pop guy, you know? And then I put it on and I was like, oh, wow, this is almost like a modern day Nick Drake guy or something, which is a far cry from that. Neither one is invalid or more valid than the other, but one does appeal to me a little more.
Totally. And I've been so thankful for all those producers and writers and artists that I've gotten to collaborate with. I just thought it was important, especially when I decided to go down this kind of like personal path and kind of really and really write to that theme. I thought it'd be really nice to just do that at home.
Yeah.
And to not get on a plane and not travel. I ended up going to LA a couple times last year, but it was just to see friends. I didn't do any writing. And I ended up going to London at the end of last year for a co-writing trip, but I didn't go there with the intention of writing any songs for this album.
Okay. Who were you writing with in London?
It was actually a cool trip. The Canadian publishers sent 9 Canadian writers to work with 9 British writers.
Oh, cool.
So we just had a week, and they just randomly group you up every day. And so, it was a nice, you know, it was actually a nice break from just writing on my own at home. Like, it was nice to go and be in a studio and see what other people, how they were approaching the songs and things like that.
What's your role in those, like when you get in a group songwriting thing? Like, you're a top line guy. What do you bring to the lyrics?
I mean, it totally varies. I find the sessions, some days, you know, some days you're contributing more in a melodic sense. Some days you're contributing words. Some days you're the one that, you know, came up with the first set of chords everyone's working off of. And some days you're really driving, and some days someone else is really driving. Like, you know, it just, they're so different each time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, man, okay, let's go back. Where were you born?
I was born in Ontario, in Canada.
Okay, and what were your parents? What was their scene? Were they music people or?
No, my parents split up when I was a kid, and luckily for me, they both remarried pretty quick after, and so I've got two kind of sets of parents, and my dad here, he's a drummer. He's the one that got me into musical instruments and things like that. And And he didn't do it as a career, although he's retired now and he's getting more and more into it, which is really cool to watch. But he's the one that got me into instruments. And then I eventually, as a kid, like, would just go down, like, I'd take what I would learn at a guitar lesson and just go downstairs at the house and just, like, and try to, like, make up stuff around it, you know? Like, I was just always trying to make up my own thing. And I'd learn a new chord and make up a new thing. And that's how I kind of got into it, just kind of slowly like that.
What were you listening to at the time? Like, what was inspiring you?
I mean, growing up, like being a kid, like I listened to a whole slew of things. You know what I mean? Like I would, you know, obviously you hear the things that your parents would put on and you'd hear the things that your friends would listen to and stuff that was on the radio. I mean, obviously growing up, I'm 34 now. So growing up, like there was, you know, lots of nights I would just like listen to the radio. But what got me into like writing and the idea of like maybe playing those songs and what a stage was like was there's that Paul Simon concert in the park.
Yeah.
That massive Central Park show. And I just think like I would get that from the library and just watch it and just think, wow, like that is just unreal. Like there's so many musicians up there and I just thought he was such an interesting, I think the way he would use the English language is so interesting. So I remember being a kid and just checking that out and thinking like, wow, like, well, A, like, look at all the people, and B, like, there's drummers everywhere, and amps, and guitars, and, you know, I just thought...
Oh, it's like the Graceland, or, like, yeah, late 80s or something.
Yeah, Graceland was out, I don't know what year that... I mean, I have to look up what year that show was, but it was, like, 750,000 people in Central Park.
Jesus Christ.
Right? Like, it's just... And like, yeah, it's just, and they just get right after it. It's just so cool to watch.
You have that sort of, did you get into poetry? Did your lyrics have a very, you have a good poetic sense about you is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I appreciate that. I haven't been explicitly into poetry, but I do really enjoy, like in the creation of a song, like obviously I love when you have a melody that feels good and when you have music that feels good, you know, but I do get a ton of joy out of lyrics and no extra words and no word that doesn't have a purpose. And, you know, like I do love that. And I would say, especially with this new record, I'd be happy to present, you know, parts of those songs in a poetic way. Cause I did really enjoy writing that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so back to the Paul Simon. You'd watch the Paul Simon thing. And then what did you do? Like, how did you start playing out or anything? Like, how did you get out of the...
You know what? How did I get out of the... Sorry?
The basement or whatever, wherever you were going down and, like, learning the tunes.
Well, I mean, I had an electric guitar at the time, and I had some buddies that we'd play around with. And so we'd go to the school and, you know, you'd play this talent showy thing or this battle of the bands, or, you know, we'd go and try that stuff. And I thought that was really fun. It was like a nice taste of it. And then I finished high school and started playing the acoustic guitar and started writing songs in that way. And then I just came back. You know, I ended up like doing a bit of traveling after I finished high school, and I came back and just thought, I'm just gonna book a show, you know. And I found a venue that would host it, and that was the first show. And I just kind of kept after the writing and kept after the shows after that point. And there were these little magic moments along the way where, you know, you kind of the reaffirming moments or the right place, right time moments, and it just kept on going.
That's awesome, man.
It even brought me to Austin. Like I've been down. I did South by, I think, in 2013.
Oh yeah,
and I came back on the road one time and played at Stubbs as well.
Oh yeah, how'd you like that?
I loved it. Yeah, I love it. I think Austin's awesome.
Thank you. I'm going to take credit for the whole thing because I am responsible for
it.
Just the good things.
Yeah, no, thank you.
So when you so you go on this trip, you come back, you book that show. Did people come to the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, people did. I mean, at the time, and like for a long time after that, it was a lot, you know, it's like family and friends, people you were sending text messages to make sure that, you know, there's somebody in the room.
Yeah. Then you went out and kept on booking shows and writing songs. And how did you end up connecting with like a publisher and stuff like that? Like,
well, it's just, you know, I in these tent shows, I've been talking about some of these stories a little bit too. The tent's been a good reminder of like all, you know, all the things that went into getting from A to B so far. And I remember playing this one club here in Calgary, and like I remember looking out from the stage thinking I should be seeing all my family and friends, but I didn't recognize anybody. And it was just, you know, that was kind of like indicative of where, you know, where it was kind of going. I remember playing, we did this little like contest and it got us with the radio station, and it got us on this festival, and then this guy wrote about it, and then I ended up signing a deal because of that festival show we played, and then through that company met the publisher. Like, it just like, I feel like it's probably in a lot of musical stories. It's just, sure. This, you know, this little thing led to this, and this show with five people at it, you know, one of the five people ended up picking you for this. And, you know, it's just, it was a lot of that, thankfully, that kept it going and made it happen. And yeah.
Meeting the people, shaking the hands.
Or even like, even by accident, just meeting them, you know what I mean? But just like, there's so many moments that are, you know, I probably couldn't explain, but I think, but I've been able to do this now. Like, I've been doing this for 12 years. And I made Love Valley. Actually, I made it with the first engineer I ever worked with. And I randomly met him because his girlfriend at the time was also playing acoustic songs. And she said I should go record with them. And that was, you know, and I still, you know, I still record with them. I love the connections like that. I love how those things work.
He does a great job too, man. You know, your guitar sounds incredible. Your voice sounds incredible. You've obviously done the 10,000 hours thing, where that's the way that you get good at something, according to Malcolm Gladwell. You have that, on a record like this, you do have that. That comes across very, very clearly. Did you record a lot of it like live? Are the performances pretty live?
I shouldn't say live like we were tracking acoustic and vocal at the same time. I would say live in a sense that it was just him and I.
Sure.
And we put up a couple microphones in the control room. We didn't even use the tracking room for the most part. And we would just work, you know, the two of us would work to get like, you know, one good kind of start to finish acoustic performance and one great, you know, start to finish vocal performance, and then just start seaming that stuff together.
Yeah, capture the magic.
Totally. And then we would just add elements when we saw a need for them, versus, you know, trying, I think sometimes recording songs, you end up trying to remove some elements to whittle it back to where it should be. But we were really careful about what to add. So we recorded most of it in the studio. It's called OCL Studios. It's near my house here in Calgary. The two of us worked out there. And then when someone would hire me to come play a show, there's a drummer I love in Toronto. He'd fly out to play the show with us. And in the morning, I'd whip him out to the studio at 5 a.m. And we'd record a couple drum takes and then drop him off at the airport so he could fly back home. And we just kind of put it together that way, bit by bit.
That sounds good, man. When you've gone down and done all of your writing in Los Angeles and Nashville and stuff, who have you gotten, like, who all have you gotten songs cut for, or who's cut your songs is what I'm trying to say. Sorry.
You know, like I would go into most of those sessions with the thought that I was trying to get songs for me. You know what I mean? Like, I think sometimes you'd be in, sometimes you'd be in a session where the song doesn't feel like it fits for what you're trying to do or what you're about, and maybe somebody in the room, like another one of the, you know, artists, like it's in a similar position as I am, that thinks, oh, well, this would be great for me.
Right.
But in terms of like being a songwriter that like went out and was like looking for cuts or like thought or like that hasn't been my career so far. You know, like I think, I've been able to write with so many different people over the years and pull some great songs out of it. But yeah, like, I always had that filter that I was looking for songs,
right,
that I wanted to go sing for people, you know what I mean? Go play.
Right. At some of these tours that you've done, like with Bryan Adams and Third Eye Blind and Kings of Leon, were those any of those here in the States?
Yeah, the Third Eye Blind stuff was in the States.
How was that?
I toured with it. It was great.
Was that was that just you by yourself?
Yeah, opening that was. For them? Yeah, and then I toured.
I mean, talk to me a little bit about that. I mean, that's a big crowd waiting for another band, and you're coming out by yourself.
Yeah, well, I've done so much of that over the years. But yeah, no, I just go out there with an acoustic guitar and get after it. You know, I played, maybe Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Detroit with them. And then I did a bunch of touring with Michael Franti in the States too. And then we even did some shows with Steve Winwood at one point in the States.
How was that?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
He was awesome. What a sweet guy, and like super hardworking crew and super friendly crew. And same with Bryan Adams. Like, they, you know, we went and played in Scotland with them, and like so nice, so fun, great people.
How much European touring have you done?
Not a ton, actually. Like, I've gone over and done a couple of festivals. We never did the Bryan Adams stuff. And then the idea is that this whole Greenbrier tent touring, like I'll take that there at some point next year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you doing this with the booking agent? Like,
I work with booking agents, but like with this specific idea, yeah. I mean, we do a lot of brainstorming around how to do it. But in terms of like how it happens, like it doesn't fit into that traditional.
Right, exactly. How do you do that logistically? Like, who are you working with when you say we?
Well, so my partner here, she's been so good at just finding these farms, you know, and
that's so cool, man. Sorry,
we built this. I think it's so cool too. Yeah. We built this tent up together, and. We built this tent up together, and she had a sense for how to decorate it, and we just loaded the whole thing up and started showing up at farms and meeting people and you know, like even in Vancouver there, like as we were setting up the tent, there's goats in the field. You know what I mean? It's just like it's so different and so nice. Instead of sitting in a green room, you're standing in a field, like, and the sun's going down, and then you're getting ready to just go into the tent and do the show.
Yeah. It's a whole different thing. There's a different feel. Like, do you play a lot of bars, or do you play mostly listening rooms and stuff like that when you're normally touring?
Well, I mean, it's not always my choice. You know, I mean, I'm at that level where I'm just, you know, trying to just work my tail off. And so some nights it's been a listening room, and some nights it's been a no listening room, and some nights it's been a, you know, and sometimes it's been a bar, and sometimes it's a club with half a PA that's broken. And so, you know, it's just like I've played them all. And so it's been really nice to have this space that feels so good. Like, it's so beautifully designed inside, and then the shows, like I was telling you, there's no set list, but also the more conversation, the better. Like, people are asking questions, or I'm asking questions, or someone makes a joke, or, you know, we end up having a lot of fun in there.
How long are you playing? Like, how long are those shows going?
2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's 5 nights a week. Like, I played 58 shows in the backyard, and we've done, I think, 25 of the farm tour shows.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, man. Well, this record is fantastic. People should get out there and get it. You can get it now. You also have a lot of other albums out there. This is your fourth full length, or your fifth?
Yeah, I think so. It might be the fifth. And I think there's obviously been a bunch of stuff. I mean, I remember recording a couple of things at the beginning before we started, you know, before I signed to that first label. And And we've done a couple live records too along the way, and some EPs. There's lots of stuff we recorded, but yeah, I appreciate that you like Love Valley.
Yeah, it's a beautiful album.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah, and it fits right in with a lot of there's a lot of Americana. What do you call what you do? You call what you do Americana or Canadiana? Sorry.
Well, I mean, you know, and like when you have to go into some, you know, Spotify or Apple thing or SoundCloud thing and start filling out what your genre might be, I definitely include those terms. I mean, yeah. I include the term folk in there too. I think there's an element of pop to the writing as well. Yeah. You know, like so I think it's somewhere in there. I sometimes struggle to figure, like if someone asked me like, well, say one, I don't know. I might call it folk, I guess, if I had to say one, but I think it lives in there. I think that descriptive light or that descriptive picture writing kind of fits with Americana in a big way too.
Sure. Sure. Well, yeah, people can get out there. They can find you at michaelbernardfitzgerald.com. You have a lot of albums out. Hopefully we'll get to see you in the next, whenever, well, maybe we'll see you at a farm in Texas at some point. I mean, Texas has a lot of farms.
Texas does have a lot of farms. And I think we should plan on that. Like obviously, you know, we're all dealing with this pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, internationally. And then also, I mean, you and your fellow countrymen and women have a big day ahead of you today and yes, over the sir. Next couple and over the next few weeks. But the plan has been, you know, like then I've been so thankful to work with Stunt Company down in the States, because the plan has been that Greenbrier tent is coming to the U.S. You know, like we'll find a time to do it. I think, I mean, I spend a lot of time touring in the States, and I'd love to come back and do it again.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure people would love to see you back in Austin.
Yeah, well, get good. Well, yeah, then I'll come there.
Yeah.
I love Austin. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Michael, it's been great talking to you, man. And good luck with
Likewise.
Everything. And welcome home. I hope you have a couple of relaxing days before you get back to work.
Well, thank you. We just actually launched this like 20 show series where we built this little pop-up cafe, and every night, and I played the first show last night, and then I had a couple days off before the next one, but there's like 22 shows, and every night it's with a different artist from Calgary.
Wow, that's awesome.
And we go song for song.
Yeah, it's like a song swap?
Yeah, it's all song swap, and some nights there's painters, there's a night there's an actor, there's a bunch of different kind of like facets of art. And we still go song for song, and like lots of discussion. Lots of new young artists, lots of established artists. It's cool.
Awesome, man. Well, people can find out about that at your website, huh?
100%. Yeah. All right. And they can find out when the Austin Greenbrier tour date is, when that gets posted to.
Yeah. Well, dude, thanks so much for doing the show, man. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate the support.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks.
Bye.
All right, Michael Bernard Fitzgerald. That's a little shorter than the normal ones, but man, we were talking. He was in his car. he was talking to me from his car in Calgary, Canada. What a great conversation it was, though. Very nice getting to know that nice gentleman. Great songwriter. His record, Love Valley, is out now. It's fantastic. Find him at michaelbernardfitzgerald.com. He just finished that farm tour. Hopefully, he'll bring that farm tour down to Texas. Keep in touch with them by going to michaelbernardfitzgerald.com. And gang, don't forget, when you're out there checking out michaelbernardfitzgerald.com, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, anywhere. You get new shows every Tuesday, every Friday. I also drop a From the Vault episode every couple of weeks. I'll drop a little something for you guys, a little something from the past. All right, let's hear the rest of this song, I Love That Sound, by the great Michael Bernard Fitzgerald. This record's great, man. Get out there and check out Love Valley now. Do it. I'm serious. It's hopeful. It's romantic. It's optimistic. Have a great day, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down. Man, I love that sound.
tipped off your dress. Yeah, I watched it hit the ground.